There needs to be more bands in Scotland. We, by the way, we figured out what he said. Run Rig, Deacon Blue, and Hip Sway. All three are checked out to be Scottish bands. So there you go. We have cracked the code. We have translated our good friend from the Tartan Army.
It is Rich. Deacon Blue and Hip Sway.
There you go. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson, who is on vacation today over here on 93.7 WEI. Oh, I've heard this song.
Who did it first? That's my question. Is this a Rod Stewart song or is this a Run Rig song?
Great question.
I have no idea. I'm going to give Run Rig the credit. Why not?
Sure.
We have here in studio a gentleman who I can't wait to talk to because out of all the points of this season that you could say are the lowest, this was without a doubt. We are at rock, but we're below rock bottom. We are at the bottom of the ocean.
McFarland to you all. Is that Scottish?
McFarland.
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
There you go. Brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. I don't even know where to start with
you. I'll start here. Ken's chemistry with that reporter yesterday was off the chart.
Cat and I?
All right, Cat, yeah.
I'm half Scottish. I mean.
By the end of the interview, you were full Scottish.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I DM'd her after the show. I said, seeing what kind of magic I can work.
Well, I mean, I don't know why you showed up in a kilt. Yeah, that was a great interview. I really enjoyed that. It was awesome.
She's great. Yeah. And as I said, like it's going to be a fun weekend. They're here for like 10 days, I guess.
Are all over the place.
They're everywhere here. Yeah. And I guess Sunday or Saturday? Oh, it's Sunday, because Saturday's the game.
Saturday's the game, yeah. Some are coming tonight, and they have the march on Sunday, according to Kat.
But there's like thousands, literally thousands coming on Sunday after that march. They've all got tickets. So get ready.
Believe me. We're sending one of the play Tessie guys into the heart of that march. There's no, you have to. You just, the last time we had a march here, a GM got fired. So, like, who knows? I don't know. I mean, that was the Dodgers fans marching down Lansdowne. But, it's been crazy. I will say this. There was a little bit of breaking news today as I was walking here.
Okay.
I have flushed out Dustin Pedroia to finally get on Instagram.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that mean anything? I mean,
I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I just put up a picture of me wearing a T-shirt. He said, PD1515 says, dang, Rob, mixing a push-up. I said, is that you chirping me on Instagram? And he's like, yes. So I'm like, okay.
All right.
There we go. You know, baby steps here to get Pedroia back here, but there you go.
Well, maybe that does mean something. Who knows? I know that when Sam Kennedy was on with Greg Hill the other day, they talked about a lot of things, as I'm sure a lot of clips of these, you know, they got a ton of publicity. But one question that was asked was, they said, have you been talking to anybody? Like, and they mentioned Dustin Pedroia specifically.
Yeah.
And Sam Kennedy actually answered that by saying, I talked to him a lot. Now, he obviously was trying to play out or play it off as if there was anything important that, you know, recently that they've discussed, like managing the team. But does that sound like something Pedroia might one day want to go into?
One day is relative, Rich. One day.
Yeah.
And I do think they would love to have Dustin Pedroia as part of this equation. But Dustin Pedroia, you know, first of all, it would be absolutely have to, for him to move across the country and turn his life upside down. It wasn't going to be like you're going to be in the legend suite waving your hand in the fourth inning for whatever, how much money you're paid. So I think they would have to be substantial. And right now, as we sit here, there is no scenario where you would bring in a Dustin Pedroia and be like, okay, that's substantial. Like, manager, no. GM, no. You know, advisor to the GM, no.
What about a co-GM? Like, they have a coordinator on offense and
defense.
Okay, all right,
how would that work? Like, how
Breslow handles pitching.
Right.
Dustin handles
hitting. What happens when Dustin Pedroia says, hey, Brez, I think your pitching ideas stink?
Well, he can't say that. Brez handles
pitching. You can't, but again, how's that going to, which may have been part of the problem in the former regime. I don't know.
I have an idea, man. It's not a finalized. I'm just what's working material here, you know?
I get it. So you're workshopping answers to the Red Sox, which is... Nothing wrong with that because we're all workshopping answers.
I don't have any reason to believe that Pedroia and ownership don't have a good relationship. They paid him a ton of money, obviously, when he was here.
Oh, they have a great relationship.
That's what I was about
to
say.
He's a big John Henry guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because what would you see if, I mean, because it does sound like Sam Kennedy has been trying to get him involved in this team in some way. Like, what position ideally do you think that they are looking to have him fill?
None. I mean, they would love him to fill a lot of positions, but he's not going
to
fill them.
Well, if what do you think they are trying to get him to fill?
They want him to come in here and be part, probably, I'm guessing, part of the organization in some capacity where, it, you know, for instance, Craig Breslow does not have a guy, a dissenting view advisor type guy. Yeah. Like, for instance, the Texas Rangers have a guy named Dayton Moore, used to be the Kansas City Royals GM.
Yeah.
He's that guy for them.
Is he a no guy? Is that what you're saying? Like someone who goes, no.
No, no. He's just a guy who's been around, who has a lot of experience, has thoughts. And instead of, you have a lot of the same sort of guys in the organization. At least that's the perception of it. And so
they're all computers.
I mean, I guess, but it's, you know, so you, ideally you would have another guy in there, but Pedroia is not going to be that guy. Cause I think Pedroia would ultimately like, hey, I want to have final say, whether it's as a manager, whether it's as a GM, whatever it is. And that's the, yeah, they would love for him to do that, but there is not a scenario right now where that's a fit.
Do you believe the Red Sox when they say not on the table, the firing of Craig Breslow? And in other words,
right now, yes.
Are they going to let him exist through the trade deadline?
I don't think, yes. I think that this is pretty cut and dry to me. If you're giving them a vote, if you're giving him a vote of confidence right now, it's saying we're going to trust you through the trade deadline, but with a big but, we're talking about June and July. I don't know how you get to the end of the year after making this momentous decision, mm-hmm. this decision, which is, there's no room for interpretation. This is putting a bullseye on them, on the front office. We did this because we thought this would make this team, which we said has World Series aspirations, have World Series aspirations.
Yeah.
And if you get to the end of the year and that doesn't happen, where you made this move, which has never happened in baseball,
yeah,
you're firing five coaches and a manager,
yeah,
then everybody's job should be up for investigation.
What was the thing you took the most outside of the one comment where you talked about Breslow's job being safe? What did you get the most out of that Sam Kennedy interview?
Well, I mean, I think the Roman thing was kind of interesting.
Yeah,
right?
Straight up apologizing.
Yeah, but it's, you just can't, here's the thing, like, you just can't do that. Like, this is, you, and I know that Sam said, hey, I got the, whatever, the status report in front of me. It is, and we all knew, you shouldn't know by now. Everybody knows that a strain and a tear is the same thing. You just cannot defend, you had an hour from the report to when you went on the radio.
Yeah.
You cannot come out and say that is definitively not a tear, because ultimately what happens is exactly what happened, yep, with Roman Anthony. People hear sprain, it's one thing. People hear tear, it's another.
So they, Roman, by the way, no update again today, right?
He was running the bases. So.
Oh, that's good. But Crochet.
No update. No
Crochet update. On top of it, you just spoke to, and he's trying to correct a record from a couple days ago, right?
Yeah, he said that his lat had gotten worse, and it wasn't his lat. It was basically his shoulder hadn't progressed like they had hoped. And, you know, so now he said, I think the biggest thing to take out of when we met with Crochet right now is he's like, world, he's an All-Star break. You know, no, I'm not coming back before the All-Star break. There's no scenario where that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that's a setback. I mean, he said there's no setback, but they...
No. Yeah, but no. Basically, we're saying, because we were saying, how does a lat get worse when you didn't do anything with a lat? And he's saying, no, it was misinterpreted, or whatever you want to say. It was not the lat. It was not. It's still a shoulder. The shoulder hasn't bounced back like they had hoped. And that's where we've landed, where we land.
When do you think he'll be back? Like, if just from
August?
Wow. And what's the point then?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, you go back to spring training, and I've said this a bunch of times. Last year's spring training, at the end of February, he's throwing 100 miles an hour in simulated games. This year is up and down, and you know you had that workload. It didn't seem quite right all along, and then you land in April, and then you still haven't pitched for the manager that you've had for 2 months. And so, yeah, I mean, you have to – if you get to August and you are out of it and you have any question about that capsule – and to me, guys, that's another thing that's scary. Google capsule in a shoulder. There's been a lot of progress in terms of treating this.
Yeah.
But about 5-10 years ago, if you had a capsule – forget about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But so anyway, it's not great, and what's bizarre is that he's kind of the least of their concerns right now.
Yeah, right. I mean, they've. I mean, right. It's probably like 15th on the list.
Well, sort of. But since he's been out there, starting ERA is like 4 or something, right? I mean, Early and Toley have been less good. I mean, if you had an Cy Young candidate
the problem.
In there.
That's the problem, is that you can't keep leaning on Early and Toley and say, go get him. Right. We're gonna score 2 runs a game,
yeah.
And you hold it down. And
Rangers on a 90 pitch count. I mean,
yeah, Ranger Suarez and Sonny. I mean, it's almost like they're taking on water. The starting pitchers are doing everything they can. But as we said this, when they did the whole run prevention thing, this is not sustainable for an entire year. Right. If you want evidence of that, go across the field and talk to the Texas Rangers, who tried to do that exact thing last year and ended up at 81-81.
All right, so Rob, it is hard to gauge how good of a job Chad Tracy is doing, because obviously we don't think right now the team as put together. I mean, you'd have to be a miracle worker to all of a sudden make all of this work, to have any kind of expectation that he could turn things around. But I want to know, just from what you've seen in the locker room and the way that they're functioning behind the scenes, they are a historically bad team, yet I'm not hearing a ton of complaining or drama out of the locker room. Is that a credit to Chad Tracy, or how can you gauge how well of a job or how bad of a job he's doing?
I think he's done a fine job with what he's been given.
Okay.
That's
what it feels like.
Yeah, and a big part of this was communication, was the little things. And I think in-game manager, he's done fine. I mean, there's been some bullpen hiccups, whatever it is. But I think ultimately, Rich, what this is, what the Chad Tracy dynamic also represents, is that this isn't about Chad Tracy. Much like this probably wasn't about Alex Cora and all those coaches.
Yeah.
This was about the roster that was put together. And everyone's talking, we're back at Fenway Park, congratulations, and you're back at Fenway Park, and everyone's trying to figure out, why are you so bad at Fenway Park scoring runs? And Isaiah kind of Falefa, when he got up there, I think he was just trying to be a leader, trying to be a guy, trying to solve a problem that a lot of people thought was unsolvable. Here's the solution. You need better hitters who hit better at Fenway Park.
Yeah.
That's it. Yep. I mean, that is it. They are... This roster is not conducive to hitting in the place. You play 81 games, and maybe they'll score 10 runs tonight, and they have before, pants off, tarps off game. You know, like
if they had Alonso or...
By the way, kilts off.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you should see what I got underneath mine.
Yeah.
Just a swaying to and fro. Yeah. I'm dragging these things like I'm bowling ball.
So when people say tarps off, the Scottish people, what is this? Oh, no, well, you know, if they score over 10 runs, it's kilts off. That's the tradition.
That's right. Yeah. You don't want to see that. According to the people we've been interviewing, you don't want to see that.
No.
Hey, can you stick around for one more segment?
Yeah,
only a two-minute break. All right, 2 minutes, we'll be back. We'll take your call. Calls for Rob Bradford, 617-779-7937. 2 minutes, we'll be back. 7WEI, Rich, Ken, and Rob Bradford. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. We are live from Fenway Park, and we are broadcasting from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball in that dirty water. And during the break, I was just showing Ken and Rob this picture. It's something that we could see ourselves if we just step out and walk into the stadium. But it is so freaking weird to see Fenway Park with the Citgo sign completely missing the center of it. Like, the red center is completely gone. There is a hole right in the middle of the Citgo sign. And what did you say that symbolized?
That was their soul.
The soul of the team. It's hollow. It's soulless right
now. Doesn't it kind of feel that way? It's like...
It's weird. Everything's off.
Everything is off. That should not be that way. Much like, you know, we're not used to... Kilts are here. There's no hole in the middle. There's no thing in the middle of the Citgo sign. Like, the Red Sox are 12 games under .500.
Right. It's like the season was directed by David Lynch.
Raining
cats, like, everything's
and dogs.
Just off and like weird and kind of nightmarish. All right, let's go to David on line one. He's got a question for you, Rob Bradford, about a podcast you did with Mike Lowell. What you got there, David? What's up, buddy?
Hi, David.
Rob, I listened to the interview you did with Mike Lowell earlier in the week, and it was excellent. And some of the things that he was saying in terms of the roster in the lineup, I think kind of, you know, addresses the question you have of, you know, is this team, you know, constructed to play in Fenway? He was talking about if you had Alonso in the middle of the lineup, if you had Bregman in the middle of the lineup, and why didn't they go after those guys? And he also said something which was very telling was they didn't go after them because of money. And, you know, they've made so much money, you know, in terms of the valuation of the team. How much money do they need? So anyhow, I just thought it was an excellent interview. And I think
bet your ass it was, David. That's Rob Bradford doing that interview.
Yeah, thank you. I'm available for mediocrity usually, but every once in a while I surprise somebody.
But that's a good question. And Ken was raising this earlier. It's like, how much better is this team if Bregman's here? Like, if, just give me one. Give me one. Give me Bregman. How much better are they if they were
I think they're, you know, I don't know about wins and losses. I can't, they're better. And everyone who say he's having a down year, well, okay, that's fine, but I don't think that has correlation to this, because I looked it up the other day. I think he has 60 balls pulled at Wrigley Field so far this year. Only 8 of them have gone for hits. If you look at how many more hits he would have at Fenway Park, who he's one of the biggest dead pole hitters in baseball. Mm. And that's the guy they tried to make Caleb Durbin before Caleb went to your guy Lorenzo. And Bregman was that guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about how much of influence he had on, we know, the most valuable commodity, Roman Anthony. And I was just talking to someone over the Rangers. I said, don't you think that it's worth $10 million in a no-trade clause to have a guy who is going to make your most important commodity that much better?
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And what the caller was talking about was, yeah, and Lowell brought up Derek Lee. He's like, when Derek Lee went to Chicago, he's like, I knew that it wasn't going to work out. He dominated in Miami. I knew it was going to work out. And then another thing Lowell said was, like, it was the same thing I've been screaming and yelling forever, which is when I was with the Red Sox, and even the years after the Red Sox, when they wanted a guy, they were going to get a guy.
Yeah.
And that obviously has gone out the window, and they're paying the price for it.
All right, so when you take a look at the players in this team, like, who is – because, I mean, you talk about Bregman and how, like, there were, you know, he would help out other players. He seemed to be a good influence in the locker room. Who's, like, who's the guy? Like, who's the guy in that locker room now that everyone looks to and says, lead us?
Well, Wilson Contreras is as close as you're going to get. But, again, he is a first-year guy, isn't the same personality as Bregman. He's a guy that you want to get in the middle of a bench-clearing brawl. You want that guy. Everybody, he's a great guy to have. I kind of look at him as like Adrian Beltre when he was here for a year. He's a great guy to have, but you need more of that. You need and then when you say before the year, who were the leaders, and people would say Trevor Story. Okay, that's fine. Number one, he's a quiet guy. Like, he'll pull you aside and help you, sure. But also, when a guy isn't doing well, he doesn't lead. Like, that is one thing that people should get around their head.
Yeah.
That when a Jaron Duran is hitting, like, his OPS is 550, it's hard for guys to, hey, let me show you how to do it. It just doesn't happen that way.
You just were talking about how you talk to some of the guys on the Rangers, and I know that when you're covering the team, you speak to some of these other teams and you know, whether it be the coaches or the managers or it be the players. What do other people, other teams think about the Red Sox?
Well, first of all, they have a million questions. Like, what the heck is going on?
Wow. Okay.
How could that happen? Like, what? It's the same because what they did in April had never been done before. And never mind the fact that the one of the people involved, the manager, is perceived as a top five manager in baseball by the people who you're talking to.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I've got from them. Whether, you know, who knows, like, the intricacies about from the front office to the manager, but this from the outside, from these teams that come in, when they ask the questions, like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
And then as you said, I mean, they talked to some of the guys, and I think that everybody is they're just been swimming upstream the whole time.
Yeah.
And we can say, and that's the thing, when I was talking to Jones and Keefe yesterday, that's the thing that I don't understand. How can anyone say that this move was the right move to do? Because where you've landed 2 months later isn't any better. It just isn't any better. And don't give me, hey, you know what? You won, you know, 3 more games. No.
That is an underrated storyline. I mean, now that you mention that, the fact that really what improved? Like, what was your plan?
Well, you can say, oh, the offensive improved slightly. Well, who's to say the offensive wouldn't have improved slightly anyway? And by the way, when these guys are not going well, it would behoove to have them to have somebody who has gone through the battles, who went through spring training with them, for them to sort of go to instead of an outside guy or picking up the phone call to somebody.
Yeah.
So what happened, why they were able to keep their head above water for that first month or so a little bit better, is because the pitching went from a 5 ERA to a 2 ERA, and that has nothing to do, forget about Alex Cora, that has nothing to do with the five coaches who were fired.
Are there teams that are salivating for when they can reach out to Alex Cora when he feels like he's ready to manage?
Yeah, I mean, if I think you're Kelce. I mean, go to Kelce, and I would.
Oh, I haven't even looked. That's
no, but I would imagine if you could do something that whatever Alex Cora, Phillies manager in whenever lockout ends, it would be like 85%. I would imagine. I mean, he already turned down the job, and that's understandable because you want to make sure Dombrowski's going to be there.
Next Phillies manager, Cora, 19%.
All right. Well, is that the favorite?
No, Mattingly.
Really?
34%.
Mattingly's doing a pretty good job, isn't he?
Yeah, but unless they win the World Series, like, I don't know if Mattingly's going to want to do it.
Also, David Ross, 11%.
Oh, no. Cora's ahead of David Ross.
For Philly, I don't know.
By the way, I do know. by the way, Boston's next manager.
Yeah.
Kelce has that.
Yeah.
Right now, 29% Chad Tracy. Rocco Baldelli.
And my man, yeah, right, Rhode Island Rocco.
I like Rocco. He's a good guy.
He's with the Dodgers currently, right? He's doing some kind of consulting.
Yeah. He's doing stuff with the Dodgers. I mean, I think that what we should do is if Noah was really on his A game, by the way.
Get Rocco in the phone.
I mean, his brand has never been hotter.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Read audio on like week one. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
And getting Theo on text. By the way, I have not hooked you up yet. I seem like I've talked a big game. Yeah. I have not given you your gift card. Uh-huh. I will do that next week, I promise.
If he tells you that they bring out the pizza in the third inning in the press box and not your payment, don't take that. So, I think that what you should do, you should give Noah a seemingly impossible task like you did, which he came through on.
He did.
And say, go get this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I would say, go text Dustin Pedroia and ask him why he's on Instagram right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you could do that. You're the one who got him on there.
I know, but it's a challenge for Noah.
Sure.
I'm here to make everybody better.
Why not? If we can get Dustin on the show next week, then we'll talk.
One quick baseball question before you go. Jaron Duran, Ken Rosenthal said today, if they do trade guys, Duran would be top of the list. I think that's obvious, but if they do move
Sonny Gray would be top of the list.
Okay. What is Brez looking to get back in return? Like,
well, that's the issue, because every time that he's come up in trade talks, you hear around Major League Baseball, the Red Sox are valuing him more than other teams. And that's the tricky thing with Duran. We see the best in Jaron Duran, and he goes on these heaters, and you're like, man, there's not a lot of players better than he was. Not a lot of players. He was a top 10 MVP guy 2 years ago. But then you see then go the other way, which is he is right now. It's a tricky one because, like, ultimately what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to accept that you're not going to win the trade by 80%. You're going to win the trade by 49 to 51%.
If they could get a right-handed hitting outfielder in AAA, like, I'd take that at this
point. Oh, Braden Montgomery?
They get just Nixon Garcia back.
But that's what we're talking about now, guys.
I know.
I mean, that's where
it's weird. That's where we are.
Yeah, but you know what? It is what it is.
And men in kilts and cool scarves. Yeah, and listen, you know, and bags on heads and
cooler
and balls of flapping. That's what tonight's theme is here at Fenway Park. All right, Rob Bradford, baseball isn't boring.
Looking sexy, by the way. Saved that goatee down to the nubs.
Yeah, well, it was an accident.
Damn it, I meant to do that on a
You're not far off.
I've been that guy before, but it was with my head.
Yeah.
All right. Well, appreciate you coming in, Rob.
All right.
And
thanks.
Have fun tonight. 617-779-7937. We will take your calls next.